to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
Have you ever noticed how politicians frequently loosen their tie, roll up their sleeves, and tussle their hair when they try to identify with hardworking, average American voters? It's pure show business, affectation, and political theater, folks. Every rolled cuff and tussled lock of hair is overseen by stylists, handlers, and political henchmen. They're trying to convey an image that says, sadly, for professional reasons, I have to live in the lap of luxury and wear this $2,000 suit. But I'd really rather be digging ditches or picking chicken guts with the regular hardworking folks. Maybe after work, we can go knock back a few cold ones. We're broke, America. Busted. In the hole. And have been for a very long time. Our federal debt exceeds all debts of all humanity, dating back to the beginning of time. Everyone knows this. Everyone, except, apparently, our politicians. Poor Democratic Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She and her husband drive about $100,000 in automobiles and own a couple of houses worth a cool $1 million. Her staffers earn between $60,000 and $160,000 per year. Yet the representative recently suggested that budget cuts and rising restaurant costs are pricing her staffers out of a good meal. Tisk, tisk. President Obama recently concluded an African tour that estimates say ran over $100 million. You have to wonder how many starving African bellies $100 million might fill. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. During his 2013 European tour, Vice President Joe Biden dropped a cool $1 million on two nights in a French luxury hotel. Nice work if you can get it. Air Force One, Air Force Two, limousines that weigh as much as a Sherman tank, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. These things leave a carbon footprint somewhere between volcanoes and global gorilla farts. Yet you, deluded, confused, abused, unimportant little American citizens, are told to drive recycled Budweiser cans and live in mean little hovels with summer thermostat settings just below charbroil. Your winter heating bill will be doubled, and your winter thermostat settings inspired by glaciers. All to stop global warming, don't you know? And these things barely scratch the surface of the excesses of our political class. Maybe Wasserman Schultz staffers should drop by the food bank to pick up economy recipe tips from their constituents. Maybe the White House should shut off the air conditioning and get a good African mealie-pap recipe. That's boiled corn mush, the staple of food in sub-Saharan Africa. It's cheap and earth-friendly. Oh, and Joe, next time you need a room, try Motel 6. They'll keep the lights on for you. This is Doc Tubes wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And it is about to be stormy. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 20th of February, and we are in for it. Tomorrow is tomorrow and Friday. Wait a minute. Let me turn this down because it looks like it's. I can't tell. I'm still not. Oh yeah, I did get some sound there towards the end. So let me go check and see if I'm getting sound anywhere else. I can hear it again. Finally, I don't know what I did to fix that, but I fixed it. So we'll wait and see a show of hands there. Everybody that's getting sound on the chat room. I see Snowman and Crochet Mama's back with us, and T-Bow, and NM Glock, and Minnie, and who else? Mountain Shooter, and Tinker, and Doc, and AZ Bound, and Nan, just barely jumped in there. And let's see, a couple of Anonymous. Yeah, I found out who one of those Anonymous was here yesterday. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If he wanted to know, he'd come in and quit being anonymous. But, all right, let's see. Thank you, Snowman and Tebow. All right, let's move on. Like I said, we are absolutely looking for quite the storm here. I think that we're... they're saying anywhere from, you know, depending on who you ask, 17 to 25 inches, 25 to 29. So we're looking at about two and a half, three feet. You know. That's down in Sholo. Now, if there's elevation is any help there, well, we're, I don't know, 500 feet or so, 800 feet higher than Sholo, so we may get a little bit more than that. You should have been in town. No, you shouldn't have been in town. You should just listen to me tell you what it's like in town today. Went to Safeway later on, and not even because we're getting ready for the storm. We were already ready for the storm. That when we heard it was coming, we're pretty much ready at any given time. If one just happened to pop over the horizon, and there it is, we're pretty much ready for it, man. But we had to go do a little shopping for an old lady down the road here a little ways. So we had to park outside of the Safeway parking lot over towards where the old Kmart used to be. I know y'all don't know where that is, but anyway, it was completely off the property. The Safeway was completely full. Walmart was a freaking zoo. I mean, it was a madhouse at all. I could tell from the road looking into the parking lot that I didn't want no part of that, so we didn't even go there. Just crazy getting ready for this. Looking at cold temperatures at night, a lot of snow. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. It's all supposed to start in the morning and snow through the day tomorrow and most of Friday. So we'll see how it all piles up here, so to speak. Let's see. Had a few. Yeah, all the schools are closed. They're confident enough this is going to happen that they didn't even wait to see what, you know, usually they wait and send out a text message or something. The school's going to be closed today. But they just told them today when they got out, don't bother to come back till Monday. Thursday and Friday, everything's closed. All the schools and the government offices, a lot of stuff is going to be shut down for the weekend. 4-day weekend we got here. Oh, life in Arizona, sand and cactus. That's what they told us. Go to Arizona, they said. Warm and sunny, they said. Sand and cactus, yeah. That's what we're getting. All right, let's see what we got going here. We bounce over here. That's not the right one. And there's the right one. All right. Do you guys remember James Best? He was Roscoe P. Coltrane on Dukes of Hazzard. Well, he bought the farm here today. I can't tell my, got all this ad block stuff coming up here. So he was, I think it was 75 is what he was. I don't remember what the age was. But anyway. New Mexico is doing wonderful things, as big of problems as they've been having lately. And some of the laws they're passing, there is good news coming out of there. They, up in San Juan County, where in Farmington, where I used to be, where Tebow used to be, they declared that today a sanctuary, a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Not just a city, the whole county there. So the old guy, oh boy, that's the sheriff there now. We were friends with him when I was a kid. Way many, many, I mean, I'm talking kid, little kid. Long time ago. The sheriff's name is Shane Ferrari. Ferrari is what we used to call him. I'm not sure if it's Ferrari or Ferrari, but anyway, we horse showed with him all the time. His daddy's name was Daryl, or his granddaddy, I guess it was. His name was Daryl, and we used to go there and you know, have barbecues with him all the time and everything. And so it was, I lost track of him for a lot of years, and then when I moved back to Farmington, I kind of got in touch two different ways. His wife worked at a dental place where I was getting some work done, and he was a cop, so he come down to the store quite often to, you know, holsters and whatever else. And nice guy. I really, really like him. He's doing a wonderful job as a sheriff. I hope that, I hope we can get some more like that in New Mexico. Actually, sheriffs in New Mexico are most of them pretty good. Pretty fair. It's the damn legislators that's killing them there. But another good little piece of news coming out of New Mexico is looks like the House has passed a bill to exempt the state from daylight savings time. This is something that, of course, supporters say would provide an extra hour of light in the morning as students wait for the bus. Well, it doesn't give you an extra hour of anything. It just puts it in a different place. It's, you know, if you go stand at the bus an hour later, it'd be the same thing. So it's, Barry Goldwater had the good sense here in Arizona to make sure that never had the light. Arizona's never done that. When they passed that law, Barry Goldwater said, not just no, but hell no, how dumb is that? So we've never had to mess with it here. So that's a very good thing. It says the bill still needs the Senate approval before it could reach the governor's desk. Now, we don't know about this governor. So far, she's not doing anything right, and people are not very happy with her. Michelle Lujan Grisham. And I'm really glad that I don't live there anymore, because I'd probably get in trouble. I'd be running my mouth and doing stuff I'm not supposed to be doing. N.M. Glock, I don't know who the sheriff is in Sierra County now. The one that was, or maybe he was just running. I don't remember his name, but I have pictures of him. And I fought with him quite a bit on Sierra County's Facebook page here a few years ago. And so I don't know if he's the same one, but probably not, because he wouldn't, I don't think he'd go for that. He was a statist. He was everything you don't want a sheriff to be. And I fought tooth and nail with him for a little while on his Facebook page. So, N.M. Glock, one of the best retired peace officers. I'm not sure who that was. I don't know if you're talking about Roscoe P. Coltrane. I don't remember him being on the Heat of the Night, but it's been a long time since I've seen it, so it's possible. What else is going on here? This is pretty big. This is a big deal right here. The Supreme Court has delivered a unanimous victory for a challenge against asset forfeiture. This is something that's really rubbed me raw since I first learned of it, you know, years ago. Can't even believe that they're getting away with this. For those of you that are not familiar with it, civil asset forfeiture is when, let's say you have bought a car, used car, and you're happy with your little car. Everything is well. But they find out that this car has been used as a to transport drugs or something in an earlier life. And that means that they just come and get it. I mean, there's lots and lots of different for instances here is how this works. But that's one of them. It can be money, vehicles, houses. Too much money. You get caught driving down the road and you've got more than, I don't remember what it is, I think it's $10,000 or something. And you can have all this taken away. Generally, you don't get it back. Sometimes they do, but this new deal here was kind of surprising. It was, let's see, it says states are bound by the Eighth Amendment's prohibition against excessive fines and fees when they seek to seize property or other assets from individuals charged or convicted of a crime. Now, charged and convicted, a little bit different. Sometimes you get this civil asset forfeiture, people that's not even been accused of a crime. That's the ones that really get me. Now, if you are convicted and you can make restitution in some manner for something that you've done by contraband that you may own or whatever, that, I think that's a little bit different deal. I'm not opposed to that. But when you've just been charged with it and all your assets are hung up there and can't do anything with it, they've basically taken them because they think you may be guilty. That is extremely wrong. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously Wednesday. It's a decision that hands a major victory to critics of civil asset forfeiture and opens another avenue to legal challenges against that widely used and often abused practice by which states and local governments can seize cars, cash, homes, and pretty much anything else that is suspected of being used to commit a crime. The case before the Supreme Court involved the seizure of a $42,000 Land Rover from Tyson Timms, who was arrested in 2015 for selling heroin to undercover police officers. He pleaded guilty to his crime, was sentenced to 1 year of house arrest and 5 years probation. On top of that, the state of Indiana seized his 2012 Land Rover, which he had purchased with money received from his late father's life insurance payout, not with the proceeds of drug sales, on the grounds that it had been used to commit a crime. So the guy challenged that and argued that the taking the vehicle amounted to an additional fine on top of the sentence he had already received. And the Indiana court rejected that solely because the U.S. Supreme Court had never explicitly stated that the Eighth Amendment applied to the states. Well, Wednesday, the court did just exactly, Wednesday today, the court did just exactly that. So, that's good news as far as I'm concerned. Glad to hear it. There's a little precedent set there. It'll be a little easier for other people to fight it. Hopefully they'll be successful. Let's see here. Another story here before break time. Let me bounce over here to the chat room and see what's going on. Okay, and I'm Glock. He was talking about James Bastia. I don't remember that. I probably would if I saw it, because I used to watch that pretty regularly. Crochet Mama, that is not the same as freezing assets. Part of it could be for a little while, but they just take it. They don't freeze their asset, they take it. You know, I'm gonna freeze my asset tomorrow, but they're talking, huh? Oh, I was told not to stop. No, they just take it, and they use it as, sometimes they'll declare it as restitution for something you've done. Sometimes they use it as part of your fine. But, you know, overall, they just take it and use the money for whatever they want to. And, it's wrong. It's theft. it's the whole thing is just an abomination. Well, it's just exactly what Doc said. I see that there. Civil asset forfeiture is an abomination, and Doc also said legal thievery. So we're in tune there. Absolutely. And I've been tormented by this for years, wondering how in the world this was even remotely in any possible way that this was even a little bit legal. It looks like, you know, once or twice, you know, half a dozen times maybe around the country and it caught on and no, hell no, we can't do that. That is most unconstitutional. But it's just been a common thing. It gets worse and worse and worse and has spread all over the country. And a lot of it's for literally no reason. So I'm not a fan. Let's see here what we got. Here is another gun manufacturer is leaving Illinois and going. A lot of you have heard of this company, but leaving Illinois and going to Iowa. And that is let's see who it was. Lewis Machine and Tool, I believe it was. Yeah. They have, they're wanting the less taxes, less restrictions, and Lewis Machine and Tool will be moving to Eldridge, Iowa, with a new contract to make 15,000 firearms for the country of Estonia. They have, I don't know if I had a number in here or not, but they have provided weapons for several countries over the years. And I've heard of them. I don't know anything about them, but said the company received about, let me back up here. LMT is committed under its development agreement with Eldridge to add to its workforce. The current 128 full-time employees are to be bolstered by 50 new positions by January of 2020. And that number is to remain stable until the tax increment financing agreement expires at the end of 2031. Company received about $1 million in state and local tax incentives when deciding to relocate to the industrial park where it's having its own firearms testing range, about twice the size of the facility they had in Illinois, and includes a production plant, offices, warehouse, totaling 65,000 square feet. So, good for Lewis Machine and Tool. I like that. That's a good deal. And I've lost track of how many companies have left some of these anti-gun states or high taxes or strong restrictions or both. Yeah, but there's been quite a few. All right, give me a few minutes here.
I'll be back.
I told Mary about it. I told her about our great sin. Mary cried and forgave me, and Mary took me back again. Said if I wanted my freedom, I could be free evermore. But I don't want to be, and I don't want to see Mary cry anymore. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, let me, devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone, I want to go home. Mary is waiting and weeping, down in our shack by the sea. Even after I've heard her, Mary's still in love with me. Devil woman, it's over, trapped no more by your charms. Cause I don't wanna stay, I wanna get away. Woman, let go of my arm. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, let go of me. devil woman, let me be and leave me alone. I wanna go home. Devil woman, you're evil, like the dark coral reef, like the winds that bring high tides, you bring sorrow and grief. Made me ashamed to face Mary, barely had the strength to tell. Skies are not so black, Mary took me back, Mary had broken your spell. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, laugh on me. Devil woman, let me be and leave me alone. I wanna go home. Running along by the seashore, running as fast as I can. Even the seagulls are happy, glad I'm coming home again. Never again will I ever cause another tear to fall. Down the beach I see what belongs to me, the one I want most of all. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, don't follow me. Devil woman, let me be and leave me alone. I'm going back home.
It's really good to be here. It's really good to see all of you here in support of overriding the governor's veto on such an important monumental bill. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know, when we talk about issues like the Second Amendment, a lot of people look at it in just within the context of guns, whether or not you're for or against guns. But really, the issue is so much deeper than that. And I would say that we really need to go all the way back to some of the more important principles, such as property rights. Okay? We need to go back to some deeper principles, such as the principles of self-ownership. You know, our liberty hinges on the question of whether or not you believe you own yourself or whether or not you believe somebody else owns you. It's a fundamental principle of liberty. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, what kind of government you have. If you want to strive for liberty, you have to come to a conclusion on this particular issue, this particular matter. Now, I would argue that we own ourselves. I believe that our founding fathers were right when they wrote in the Declaration that all men are created equal and that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, I like how they said, among these rights, they didn't list all of our rights, they just said, among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, here's the reason we have government at all. Here's the whole purpose behind American government. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So my job description is a state representative. We have law enforcement here and in other parts of the state. Their job is law enforcement. Our job is, I spent several years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantryman. My job as a Marine was the same job that it really was the same job that I have right here as a state representative. Our job as members of the government, as operators or agents of the government, our job is to help keep people free. That's it. That's all we have to do. It's really a very simple job description. But oftentimes we get politicians and bureaucrats who try to expound on their job description, and before too long we have this mission creep, and next thing you know, they believe that they're in government for an entirely different reason. But really the reason that we have government, the whole reason we have government is just to help keep people free. It's to make sure that we identify that people own themselves, and it's not up to the government to decide what liberties you get and what liberties you don't get, because as John Adams called him, the great legislator of the universe was the one that told us what liberties we have. And the most that government can do, the most that we can do for each other, is protect each other's liberty, because it's mutually beneficial. So I believe that when we look at issues like the Second Amendment, the fact that we have a right to life, just by virtue of having two hands that I can ball up into fists to protect myself from anybody who would try to do my body harm, I have a right to defend myself. And our founding fathers were wise enough, had enough forethought, to give us what we would call a vested right, where they wrote in the Constitution, in the Second Amendment, that we have a right to keep and bear arms. And I think that our founding fathers were very wise, and one of them said this, somebody much smarter than me said that a government that does not trust its citizens with arms is itself unworthy of trust. And so when we see these particular issues rise to the surface in the legislature, it's very important that we pay attention to who it is that believes you have a right to keep and bear arms, because that might highlight some people that themselves might be unworthy of trust. I believe that to my core. But you know, the Second Amendment says that the federal government shall not deprive the people of the right or infringe on the people's rights to keep and bear arms, right? What the Second Amendment does, legally speaking, what the Second Amendment does is it removes from the federal government any jurisdiction over firearms regulation. It is the Second Amendment, really, it's quite literally a prohibition placed on our federal government, okay? Now, do I believe that, you know, people try to say this, oh, well, you just want everybody walking around carrying a bazooka. You figured me out. That's what I'm going for. No, but I spent several years in the Marine Corps. And are there areas where the government, maybe at the state level, should just step in just to make sure that there's checks and balances? You know, those things are to be debated, maybe, but only at the state level, not coming from the federal government, not coming from executive orders by our president. And I think that it's incumbent on our governor and our legislature and all members of our state government to make sure that they're standing up for a certain degree of sovereignty that the Constitution reserves to the people of Missouri. I'm excited to go in here to vote to override this bill, and a lot of times politicians look for cover whenever they vote for yes and no. They want to go in, they want to vote the right way, but sometimes they just look for political cover because they want to vote the right way, but they just want to make sure that they, you know, have the right thing to say to people. Our cover to override this bill is the United States Constitution. That's it. My name's Paul Kerbin. Thank you very much for letting me be here today.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, that was a pretty good speech. That was by a guy's name is Paul Kurtman. I think I've only played that one other time on the show quite a while back, so I thought I'd throw that in there for you, because there's a lot going on right now. You know, there's I've probably said this before, and yeah, I said it before because I thought it before, and it, apparently I was wrong. But it looks like, I hate to even say it because I'll probably be wrong again, but it looks like the battle lines, so to speak, are being drawn with, a lot of sheriffs are taking a stand. The Attorney General in Washington is jumping on one in particular up there, and really some other ones, for standing up against this I-1639. That's not an interstate, that's an initiative, Initiative 1639. Most of you have read that, you know how bad it is. And Matt Shea, actually, I believe he was the one that was introducing some legislation to have that repealed, because it is so bad and so unconstitutional. But one thing's for sure, whether the battle lines are actually battle lines or not, or just more argument lines, but you can be for damn positive, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this next year is going to be quite probably the most interesting year politically that any of you remember. And I tell you, I am right, wrong, or indifferent, however bad it is, I am anxious to see what transpires over this next year. I can absolutely promise you, you will not be disappointed. It will be interesting. No matter which way it goes, it's going to be extremely interesting. The next 2 years. Let's see. 16, yeah, the next 2 years. But this year is going to be going to be very interesting, I think, to say the least. All right, let's go back to, let me go look at the chat room, see what's going on. I've been over there for a little while. Let's see. And, okay. Yeah, Yakima Glock, you better. Yakima Glock said they're going to take that attorney general to task, because they need to. That guy is something else. I've been watching what's going on up there. And it's, you know, Washington is a, I got to say, and I've said it before, that some of the, a great many of the strongest, most loyal, most dedicated patriots I have ever known live in the state of Washington. You wouldn't think it from all the stuff that's going on up there, but the problem is they're being pushed hard and they're being pushed out. About half of the state, almost half of the state, is not on their side. And even on the eastern half, there's quite a few over there that, you know, there's little pockets here and there that are not on their side. So the red-blooded American patriot in Washington has a damn sure steady job or steady battle of trying to retain or regain, I should say, some of their rights over there. The rights haven't been taken. They still have the rights because God gave them the rights, not the government. But you know, that can be argued. If you can't exercise that right and you're going to go to jail for it, it has effectively been taken away. If you cannot exercise it without getting in trouble, that right, regardless of guy, if God gave it to you, has effectively been removed. And until you are, you know, you can say, well, it's never gone. Well, it is gone. If you are, you know, if you want to go down and you know, say it's open carry or a transfer or whatever, and you want to go do that in view of people that would arrest you for it, and you get arrested and go to jail, well, hoorah, you have exercised your right. Now you're in jail for it. You know why you're in jail? Because that right was gone. Maybe I should say it was temporarily suspended while you were trying to get your act together and figure out what you're going to do about it. But, you know, you can argue the semantics of it all you want, but it is what it is. All right, let's go back here. That's about all the stories I want to talk about right now. You know, we talked about some things that happened in World War II, and I think they're interesting. I'm going to read some more of those tonight. This was, again, from Colonel D.G. Swinford in the United States Marine Corps, a history buff and retired colonel. And he's put together quite a list here of things that a lot of people don't know about World War II. The last thing we talked about was, I said there's no such thing as an average fighter pilot. You're either an ace or a target. Japanese ace Hiroyoshi Nishizawa. How you like? My Japanese is pretty good, isn't it? Shot down over 80 planes, and he died while he's a passenger on a cargo plane. That was the last one we did. So this next one, and a lot of people know this already, or part of it anyway. I'm not 100% sure I agree with this. They said it was common practice on fighter planes to load every fifth round with a tracer to aid in aiming. That part I agree with. This was a big mistake, they said, because tracers had different ballistics, especially at longer range. If your tracers were hitting the target, 80% of your rounds were missing. I agree with that, at longer range, because tracers are much, much lighter than the standard round. This part, I'm not sure I agree with. It said, worse yet, tracers instantly told your enemy that he was under fire, and from which direction? From what? Hold on just a second here. All right, let me get all that cleared up. If looking at it from the from an angle or from the rear is about the only way you can see that light. You can't see a tracer coming. You know, maybe at night if you're paying attention, you can see a little glow off of it, but you'd have to be watching. So I'm not 100% sure I agree with that. He said, worst of all was the practice of loading a string of tracers at the end of the belt to tell you that you were out of ammo. This was definitely not something you wanted to tell the enemy. Units that stopped using tracers saw their success rate nearly double and their loss rate go down. When next one is when Allied armies reached... Oh, by the way, speaking of that, I believe starting... I'm probably wrong. I think maybe starting in late World War One. I know in World War Two, in their fighter planes, these belts of ammunition were 27 feet long. And when they saw the wonder where the thing, the whole nine yards come from, well, from what I understand, that's where it came from. The whole nine yards, 27 feet is 9 yards. And when they gave them the whole 9 yards, they had unloaded an entire belt on their target. So when Allied I'm having a hard time talking tonight. When Allied armies reached the Rhine, the first thing men did was pee in it. This was pretty universal, from the lowest private to Winston Churchill, who made a big show of it, and General Patton, who had himself photographed in the act. I'm not sure what that signified exactly, but whatever. German ME-264 bombers were capable of bombing New York City, but they decided it wasn't worth the effort. Well, that's probably a good thing. German submarine U-120 was sunk by a malfunctioning toilet. Now, how is that a story for your grandkids? Yeah, I was on U-120. The toilet quit working. We sunk. You know, most of us didn't survive. But, well, among the first Germans captured at Normandy were several Koreans. They had been forced to fight for the Japanese army until they were captured by the Russians, and forced to fight for the Russian army until they were captured by the Germans. And forced to fight for the German army until they were captured by the U.S. Army. And then I suppose they took them to Powell, Wyoming and locked them up in the prisoner of war camps. I don't know. Following a massive naval bombardment, 35,000 United States and Canadian troops stormed ashore at Kiska in the Aleutian Islands. 21 troops were killed in the assault on the island. It could have been worse if there had actually been any Japanese on the island. That I'd like to look up the whole story on that. That sounds interesting. The last Marine killed in World War II was killed by a can of Spam. Yep. He was on the ground as a POW in Japan when West rescue flights dropping food and supplies came over. The package came apart in the air, and a stray can of Spam hit him and killed him. So be careful of falling Spam. That, well, there's got to be a joke in there somewhere, but I'll have to worry about that some other time. Let me see what's going on here in the chat room. Yakima Glock said they had a meeting last night in Yakima to start a... unprecedented push for the legal action against the Attorney General. Had about twice capacity show up for the room. That good turnout. That's good, Yakima Glock. I'm glad to hear that. It would be... I hope you'll keep us informed on that. That's going to be an interesting fight up there. Yeah, Doc, obviously tracers could see tracers flying by your plane, but they were talking about people on the ground Well, no, I guess they weren't talking about people on the ground. They just said your enemy could see it coming. So I guess if you could fly in by, well, that would be an indication, I guess. all right. Okay, we've got our classes picking up a little bit. Of course, they're always slow this time of year. I don't push them at all. You know, I'll push some local classes, some little stuff around here. We did concealed carry classes 2 weeks in a row, and then we got another one coming up here in about, about 10 days on the 9th of March here in Sholo. And we're going to have quite a few other things come up. March and April is going to be a big deal for us. We've got a lot of training, both in classes and just training of our own, you know, practice and stuff, coming up here in the next 6 weeks. So we'll see how this snow goes. We've got the snow coming in, I told you, Thursday and Friday. And I looked farther on there, and through the weekend, there's going to be other spots of heavy snow, you know, 80, 90, 100% for a few hours. So it's gonna pile up. It's going to be interesting. They say this is the biggest storm that Arizona has had for some time, depending on which story you look at. One of them says this is one of the 10th biggest storms, one of the top 10 biggest storms in Arizona history. And some of them say it's the most snow we've had in 10 years, and it's the most snow we've had since I've been here. And we got here in early 2012, I mean really early, like January. And that April, church was canceled on Easter Sunday for 2 feet of snow. And that's the last real significant snow we had until, you know, 3 weeks ago or a month ago when we had that 20 inches here. And it was, that was pretty good little bit of snow. We got ready and went into my storage unit in town and got the generator and got some gas just in case we lose power. With that much heavy snow, it's a good possibility that we'll lose power, at least for a short time. So, we've got generator and extra gas, food. We got extra food for the animals today and stuff. So the only bad thing about it is that, you know, if I was going to go try to get any work done anywhere, well, that's going to be a little tough because it's going to be a while before they get the roads plowed and everything. With that much snow, you know, they're going to be working hard and heavy on the highways, and these secondary roads are going to be tough. Because it's going to be it takes a while to plow 30 inches of snow out of the way. And by the time they get the highways done and get started on these secondary roads, you know, it's going to be, it may be Friday sometime before they even get started out here for us. So we may not be able to get to the highway without snowshoes for 2 or 3 days. And that's going to be bad because I sold my snowshoes about 3 years ago. So that could be a problem. I'll have to make some real quick. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Liberty Lounge, I haven't got a theme figured out for Liberty Lounge yet for this week. So I'll work on that. If you have any requests or suggestions, send them in, put them in the chat room, or email them to me or whatever, and we'll see if we can oblige. I mean, after Liberty Lounge on Friday, I'm going to have an announcement that may surprise some of you and figure out just exactly how I want to word it and put it together. So we'll worry about that on Friday. So I'm going to scoot on out of here now, and we'll see you guys for Liberty Lounge this coming Friday night. Thanks for joining.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.